And let's open our Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This morning, our text will be verses 19 through 24 as we continue studying through the letter of 1 John. So let's begin by reading our text verses. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be in church on this Lord's Day. Thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, we pray that every person would know and feel that they are welcome here today. And we thank you for ministering to our hearts through music. Pray that you'd bless in that children's church time. Help the Lee ladies as they teach those children the Bible, and may their hearts be receptive, and may they be drawn to you. And we ask for the help and guidance of your Spirit throughout the remainder of this service, Lord, as has already been prayed. We ask that by your Spirit you'd help us to understand your word, to apply it to our lives, to believe it, God, and to be impacted by it. Please help us now, and may you be honored by all that is said and done in this service and throughout the whole of this Lord's Day. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our relationships with others, probably the thing that we desire the most is to just simply know and feel that we are accepted by them. We want to know that they love us, that we are welcome, that we are accepted. And that's a vitally important part of being able to enjoy those relationships and to continue strengthening them. If that's true in our human relationships, then it's abundantly true in our relationship with God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's one thing to be a child of God, to be in Christ, but to wrestle with doubts about whether or not you're truly accepted of Him. It's an entirely different thing and a far more blessed thing to know that you're in Christ, to know that you have full acceptance in Him and that you have open access to enjoy a personal relationship with Him. You see, it's only when that latter is true that we can truly enjoy and build our relationship with God. And that's one of the truths that John is trying to teach his audience here in this chapter, or this portion of his letter. He's been teaching us about abiding in fellowship with God, and he's going to give us some truths this morning that can encourage us toward that end. Our message title today is this: Confident in Christ. Confident in Christ. We're going to learn how we can be confident of our acceptance in Jesus Christ and how we can continue strengthening our connection to Him. Let's note four key ideas seen in our text this morning related to that central idea of being confident in Christ. We'll note, first of all, the assuring. Secondly, the accusing. Then the asking. And finally, the abiding. So let's go back to verse 19 and we'll consider this thought. First of all, the assuring, or we could say the comforting. Verse 19, John says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." If you go back to verse 16 of this chapter, there we saw how John explained that we perceive, or we know, and we understand God's love for us in that he laid down his life for us at the cross. So we know God's love by his dying for us on the cross. In verse 19, John explains that as we love others, as God has loved us, as we love them sacrificially, as we do it in word and in deed, as we love others in truth, as he explains in verse 19, it's by that that we know or perceive or are able to understand that we are of the truth. And knowing that we are of the truth, that we're loving as God loves us, then enables us to assure or persuade or comfort our hearts before God. In other words, as we love our Christian brothers and sisters, we're then able to assure or persuade our hearts before God that we are His child, that He is our Father, that we are accepted by Him. Back in verse 14, John had explained that we know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. So as we love the brethren, as we love other Christians, as we love those around us, then it gives us that assurance, that comfort, that we are accepted in a relationship with God. One preacher said, love to the Lord and for the brethren, shown in a self-sacrificing way, will be an assurance before God that we are really born of God. Secondly, though, there's this thought. There's the accusing or the condemning. Verse 20. He says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knowing all things. So, as we love one another, we have assurance in our relationship with God. We're comforted. We know that we're His children. But when we sin, specifically when we're not loving others as He has commanded us, our conscience will condemn or accuse us or convict us before God. This doesn't necessarily mean that we're not God's child, but that we will lack the assurance of our acceptance with Him. We'll lack that confidence. When we're not loving others, there's not that evidence that we're God's child, and we lack that assurance. So John says, if our heart condemn us, and often our hearts will do that, they will condemn or accuse us because we're not loving as we should. But John goes on to say this, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. In spite of our failures and our often accusing and condemning conscience, we can still be comforted to know that even when our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. God knows all things. He knows and sees all things perfectly. In fact, He knows that we love Him, even though we often fail Him. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And He still loves us, and He still accepts us in Christ. W.E. Vine wrote the Vine's Dictionary. Maybe you've heard of that. But he said this, if we have something upon our conscience by which we are self-condemned, such as a failure to exercise love, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And the apostles already shown how through the blood of Christ we may be cleansed from our sin and enjoy fellowship with God. Ultimately, there is no condemnation in our relationship with God through the blood of Christ. But even when our heart condemns us or accuses us, we can rest in God's love, that He's greater than our heart. I think there's a great illustration of this in the life of Peter. Okay, and John was pretty close to Peter. They were part of that inner circle, the three of Peter, James, and John. They're very close to one another. It seemed that they had a little bit of friendly competition that went on between themselves, and they were pretty different. They even would like to race one another. You know, we have record of that in Scripture. Maybe they didn't race, but anyhow. But John knew this. John had once heard Peter basically boast of his love for Jesus. In John chapter 13 and verse 37, Peter said, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. If you look back in our text here in verse 16, John said, hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we show our love by laying down our lives in a sense, just as Jesus laid down His life for us. Well, Peter had boasted to Jesus basically, Lord, I love you more than any of these 11 other disciples. And I will even now show you my love. I will lay down my life for thy sake. Well, we know the rest of the story, right? Peter fails in that boast. He does not lay down his life for the Lord at that point. He fails miserably. Three times, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. Acted like he didn't even know him. Well, how did that affect Peter? The Bible tells us that Peter, when Jesus looked at him in that moment of denial, Peter goes out and he weeps bitterly. We could say that Peter's heart condemned him. His conscience accused him before God. So there's Peter. He's a follower of Christ. He is a true disciple, even though he had tried to deny it. But he has no confidence. He has no closeness in his relationship with the Lord. But the Lord loved him. And in John chapter 21, after eating a breakfast on the beach, Jesus has a personal conversation with Peter. And three times he asked Peter, and with a few different nuances in that, but he basically asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? And here's Peter's final response in John 21, 17. Jesus saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Again, his conscience accused him. He felt condemned because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? But listen to Peter's response. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Even when Peter's heart condemned him, he was able to find comfort even at rock bottom in knowing that Jesus did know Peter. And he really did know that Peter loved him in spite of Peter's often failing him. And that is where we get our confidence toward God. And John is saying, look, even when our heart condemns us, even when we failed to love and God has said, love me, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, and we fail to do that and our conscience accuses us and condemns us, we can come back to this. God is greater than my heart, and He really does know that I love Him in spite of my failures. And that was Peter's restoration. And it brought him from a place of distance and coolness in his relationship to Jesus. It brought him to a place of restoration where he had confidence in that relationship again. And Peter was able to go forward and do the will of God as we read of him later in Scripture. And that leads us to our third thought. And that is the asking or the confidence. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. When our hearts accuse or condemn us of sin, when we're convicted of sin, such as a failure to love as we ought to love, we lack confidence in our relationship toward God. In fact, we often lack such confidence that we don't even have the boldness to pray. Kind of like we heard in Sunday school this morning about Jonah. You know, when he's out of the will of God, trying to run from God's presence, there's no confidence of his acceptance with the Lord. They're at odds. He's being resisted by the Lord, though he's being pursued by the Lord. And yet, Jonah doesn't pray in that situation because of that accusing, that guilty conscience. And this is what happens when our heart condemns us. We're accused before God. We lack that confidence, and so we don't pray. And that's really that's a true response because we have this understanding in our relationship with God that when there's sin between us, that sin prevents our prayers from being heard by God. It's a barrier between us. Psalm 66, 18, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, if you know you have sin in your life and you're not willing to come clean from that sin, you're going to lack that confidence and you're probably not going to pray. Many times we preach on prayer when we maybe ought to take it a step back and first preach on sin and being right with God. And you get things right with God and get cleaned up in your relationship with Him, and the other will happen naturally. But when sin is there, we lack that confidence. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. So that is certainly an idea that's contained here, but really the truth in verses 21 and 22 is positive. The idea is this, that yes, we understand when our hearts condemn us, we're going to lack that confidence in our relationship with Him. We'll probably lack the boldness to even pray. But as John explains in these verses, when our hearts are not accusing or condemning us, we then have assurance before God, assurance of our acceptance with Him. And as we have that assurance, we then have confidence, or we have boldness then to pray and to ask God for things. And for anything, we would be led to ask for things spiritual, material things, physical needs, emotional things, even relational things. And our conscience is accusing us, we lack the boldness. But if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And it's understood from the very next verse that confidence is a boldness to pray and talk to Him as a father or a child would to a father when they're in a right relationship. And as John goes on to explain in verse 22, as we live in obedience to God's commands, He will hear and answer our prayers. He will give us whatever we ask. Look at that, verse 22. If our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So we have this confidence, we ask God, and we're assured that He's going to give us whatever we ask. Now, verse 22, the promise in verse 22 is not a quote-unquote blank check. And we need to understand what John is saying here in light of what he will say elsewhere in this book and what he's already said and what is said elsewhere in Scripture. The fact is, God will not give us something which is outside of His will or which is not for our good. Chapter 5 and verse 14, John will elaborate on this thought, and he says this, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Our Heavenly Father is good. He'll not give us something which is not for our good. Matthew 7, verses 9 and 10, Jesus said this, "Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" I mean, imagine this, your son or daughter comes up to you and says, "Dad, I've been longing for this, I've been dreaming about this, I would really like to have a pet goldfish." And your father doesn't immediately respond, but a few days later he walks into the house with a brown paper sack. You think, yes, he opens it up. He says, "Son, you've asked for a goldfish, but I've done you one better. I've got you a serpent. In fact, it's a very special one. It's even got a little rattle on the tail." What fun. No, your father's not going to do that, right? He's not going to give you a rattlesnake in the place of a goldfish because it's not good for you. And we understand that. We need to understand that as we read this. James, in chapter 4, verses 2 and following, said this, "Ye have not because ye ask not." God knows our needs, but He may not supply something for us until we ask. Why? Because He wants that relationship. But He goes on to say this, "Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So understood within its context, except as a form of chastening, God is not going to give us something that will pull us away from Him and toward the world. He's just not going to do it. Now, He may give us our request as a form of chastening to show us that we really don't want what we want for ourselves, but what God wants for us. But again, going back then to the truth, the positive truth of verse 22, we'll understand this, that if we are loving God as we should, if we are delighting ourselves in the Lord, then we're not going to willfully, deliberately ask for things outside of His will. Nevertheless, we have this confidence. We have this confidence toward God that we can ask for anything within His will, and God will not withhold anything from us which is truly good for us. That's the confidence we have. Psalm 84:11, we sang the words this morning, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Again, in Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And then He gives that thought that we mentioned a moment ago about if your son asks for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. If he asks for fish, you're not going to give him a serpent. The very next verse says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" We love God. We have confidence. We have assurance of our acceptance with Him. This gives us boldness and confidence to pray. And as we pray and develop this relationship with God, we have this assurance, this confidence in asking Him that He will give us any and every good thing, every truly good thing. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" We've been meditating on that verse throughout the month of October with the King's Kids ministry. Listen, God loved us enough to lay down His life for us while we were sinners, while we were His enemies. And if He's done that, then we can be confident. We can have this assurance. We can have this boldness toward Him that He will freely give us as His children all good things. Jennifer's parents were up to visit with us on Thursday, her grandparents as well. And they're just very gracious people. And I thought of this. I thought, you know, I could go to Jennifer's dad, my father-in-law, and let's say I had a need, that almond, and I need $20 to be able to get back home. I'm out of gas. Would you please give that to me? I would have absolute confidence in asking for that. Why? Because if He's given me His daughter, then $20 isn't that big a deal. And if God gave us His only Son, then He will freely give us all things. We can have that confidence in our relationship with Him. You know, we ought not be wandering in the wilderness when we can be eating of the grapes of the promised land. Confident in Christ. Knowing that He loves us, that He's good to us, and He'll not withhold any good thing from us. Finally, there's this thought, the abiding, verse 23. "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." So in verse 22, John says, if we keep His commandments, or as we keep His commandments, we have the assurance that whatever we ask, He'll give it to us. Verse 23, he tells us again what these commandments are that God expects every person to keep, to obey. The first commandment described in verse 23 is this, that God has commanded us, this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. God has commanded all people everywhere to repent and believe on the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what brings us into the family of God. See, there's no acceptance with God apart from His Son, Jesus Christ. God cannot accept us as we are outside of Christ. Now, we come to Him as we are, but God does not sweep our sins under the rug and say, well, that's all right, I love you, and just... No, He will only receive us by faith in Jesus Christ, and it's through His cleansing blood. And this is a command, by the way. Acts 17:30, again, the Scripture says, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Some people have this idea in their mind that, no, I've never truly turned from my sins and received Jesus Christ as my Lord, but I'm not really God's enemy, and, you know, I'm just kind of neutral. There is no one neutral. And if you have not obeyed the command to repent and believe on Jesus Christ, you are right now living in direct disobedience and rebellion against God, because He's commanded you to turn to Him. 2 Thessalonians 1 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Have you obeyed the gospel? That is an objective question. It's a simple thing. Have you repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 Thessalonians 1:4, Paul said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. We know that you're God's children, and how could He make such a bold statement? Well, in verse 9, He explains it. He says, as we preach the Word of God to you, He says, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's repentance. That was a matter of being obedient to the faith. I read this morning in Psalm number 18, and in that psalm there are some messianic prophecies that look forward to the coming ministry of Jesus Christ. And in Psalm 18 and verse 43, the psalmist says these words, which again would apply to Jesus Christ. He says, thou hast made me the head of the heathen, the head of the Gentiles. That is true of Jesus Christ. And here's how he explains that relationship. He says, as soon as they hear of me, they will obey me and submit themselves to me. And it is prophetical in nature that the Gentiles, when they heard the gospel, they would obey the gospel. They would submit themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first commandment that every person must obey. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, you can't have any confidence in your relationship with Him, because God has not sent forth His Spirit into your heart crying, Abba, Father. You have no such confidence, but you can. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, I could not go to your father and just ask for anything, but my dad's here this morning. And I could go to my dad and I could ask him for anything. And if it was within his ability to do it, he would give me anything I asked. That was good for me. And you might could ask him that. He might do that for you too, because he's just that kind of generous person. But I couldn't do that with your father. Maybe he's generous, okay. But you get the idea. Yeah, it's only as that person is our father that we can have that confidence and assurance. This is where it all begins. It's where it all begins. So John says, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. You know what the awesome thing about that is that every person can obey that command. There's not a person here today that if you would not simply open your heart and receive Jesus Christ, he would save you today. We believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood for every living soul, not just for a certain elect group. He died for you. He proved that he loved you. God wants to be your father, but he can only do that as you obey the gospel, as you believe on Christ. Secondly, John has emphasized this commandment. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. So as John has emphasized throughout this letter, we as God's children as followers of Jesus, are to further obey His command to love one another as He has loved us. That is, we're to love selflessly, sacrificially. We're to love without expecting anything in return. In John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." By the way, love can be commanded. Sometimes we get this idea that love is this mushy-gushy feeling type thing, and there is that side of it, but love is a matter of obedience, and we can command love. Jesus did. John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you, that you love one another." So John says, this is the commandment. And then verse 24, this is where we get this thought of the abiding. "He that keepeth his commandments," what are those commandments? Believe on Jesus Christ, love one another. That's the two immediate ones in the context. "He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby know we that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." So in verse 24, John explains that as we believe in God's Son, as we practice God's love, He will abide in us. In verse 24, you read toward the beginning of the verse the word dwelleth. That is the very same word that is translated abideth in the second part of the verse. The whole emphasis here is on abiding in a close relationship with God. This is the same word translated abide in chapter 2 and verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Throughout our New Testament, throughout the authorized version of the Scriptures, the New Testament, this word is most frequently translated to abide or remain. So the primary truth of verse 24 is this: as we love and obey God's commands, He will abide in us. He will comfort us by His Spirit, which He's given to us. He will assure us of our relationship with Him. And this will give us confidence toward God. And having that confidence toward God will then be enabled to enjoy that relationship and to continue strengthening our connection to our Lord. There's a reciprocating love between us. As we love Him, we feel that acceptance, we have that confidence. And as we have that confidence, we draw even closer to Him. And as we draw closer to Him, He abides with us. He draws even closer to us. It's kind of like this in human relationships. You take two people, young people, you know, a guy and a gal, and they meet one another. And at first, it's kind of like, you know, at a distance, and you get a little bit closer and you wonder, okay, am I going to be accepted on this level? And if you feel that acceptance, then you have a little more boldness to grow a little closer and closer. And it happens that way, that you come closer and closer together. The same thing is true in husband-wife relationships. As husbands, as we love our wives, as we should, they will respond in loving us. And then as we feel and know that acceptance, we have even greater confidence toward them. There's this reciprocating relationship when we grow closer and closer to one another. Rejection, by the way, has the opposite effect. But John's saying, hey, you can have this confidence. In fact, every child of God ought to have this confident relationship with their Heavenly Father. And really, this is what we desire, right? In our human relationships, going back to the beginning of our message this morning, in our human relationships, what we really desire most of all is just to know and to feel that we are fully accepted, just as we are. A husband wants to know that his wife fully accepts him, that she truly loves and accepts him. And a wife wants to know that her husband fully loves and accepts her. We want that in our relationship with God. And that's the only thing that can truly satisfy our hearts, by the way. We sing about it this morning. I'm finding out the greatness of thy loving heart, and it satisfies my soul. It's really only in that relationship with God that we get that deepest satisfaction. But John's saying, this is how you get it. This is how you get it. You want that confidence in Christ. You want that assurance. You need to obey Him. You need to believe on Him. And then you need to love. And as you love, you're going to feel and know that assurance, that acceptance. You're going to have confidence. You'll pray and talk to Him. You'll grow closer and closer. In fact, God will abide in you. He'll remain in you. And it's not just the idea that, okay, I'm just going to stay with you. Okay? It's not like in a human relationship. Okay, we'll just still live in the same house. I'll abide with you. No. That's not the idea. This is talking about a vital, close relationship. Say, so where are you getting all this? From the Bible. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Okay, so He's going to stay with us forever. Is that all it means? He just lives inside us. There's nothing more. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We'll be close. There will be a loving, vital connection between us. God wants us to be confident of our acceptance. In fact, He's told us, look, even if our own heart condemns us, you say, preacher, I feel guilty. I don't have that assurance in my relationship. Thank God He is greater than your heart and greater than mine. And God's not doubting your relationship with Him. God never doubts anything. He is truth. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. As we're led in obedience by the Spirit, He assures us of our adoption by the Father. And that leads us again to cry out, to pray and talk with Him in a close, vital relationship. But there is something that threatens that. It's sin. It is sin. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And those who harbor unforgiveness are not obeying God and loving others as He loved them. Consequently, the Holy Spirit is grieved in their life, and they lack His assuring witness. They lack that comfort and that confidence. Only an obedient child of God will know the abiding comfort and confidence given by the Holy Spirit. It's comforting to know that God knows us perfectly. He knows us as we really are, which tells us we ought not to be so foolish to try to hide anything from God or to try to hide from Him. He already knows you. He already knows me. He knows us as we really are, and amazingly, He does still love us. He accepts us in Christ. We then ought to respond to God's love by believing Him, by obeying Him, loving others as He loves us, so that we may have confidence in our relationship with Him. Lord, thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, I pray that every person here today that's of an age of understanding, that every person that has reached that state of understanding, Lord, would be able to have that assurance of their relationship with You, that they would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they are saved, that Your child, that they're accepted in Christ, and then that every person who is in Christ would be fully assured of your acceptance, even though we may have failed you, we may have gone astray, and we may have blown it and not really shown that we loved you. We may have even denied you. Help us to get to that place that Peter realized that, Lord, you know all things and you know that you love us. And may we have confidence and boldness and venture to prove this morning and draw close to you and to restore and revitalize that relationship with you as well as with one another. Lord, would you please soften hearts and minister to us by your Spirit during this invitation time. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question first of all. Have you obeyed God's command to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Has the Holy Spirit, has God's Spirit come to live within your heart and give you a desire to call out to God in prayer as your Father, to know your acceptance with Him? Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Preacher, I don't have that assurance. I don't have that confidence. If that's you, you can be assured of that today. You can be assured of your relationship with the Lord if you'll believe on Him. In a moment, we're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and our pianist will play a hymn of invitation. And as she does that, if you're here and you're not assured of your relationship with Jesus Christ, would you please be willing just to slip out from your seat and walk down here to the front, and I'll meet you and not at all embarrass you. But I'd like to give you an opportunity to sit down with someone in our church and take the Bible and show you how to be saved and how to know that you are saved today. Now, Christian, are you obeying God's command to love others as He loves you? Is the Holy Spirit controlling your life? Is He giving you comfort and confidence in your relationship with God? Are you confident in prayer? Do you have the boldness to pray because you know you're right with God? You have acceptance with Him. You're walking in the light. Is God giving evidence of that by giving you positive answers to prayer? Are you seeing prayers answered? Or is there some sin, a lack of love in your heart that's keeping you from that confident, abiding relationship with your Heavenly Father? The invitation for you is this: would you obey the conviction of God's Spirit today? Would you confess your sin and be restored to full fellowship with the Lord right now? He's waiting for you. And He loves you and He fully accepts you. He wants you to know it. He wants to be close to you today. Lord, please minister to our hearts during this invitation time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.